Hallelujah.
Yeah, let's go into the word this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your spirit we have. Let's pray. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you for all that you've given to us by the giving of your spirit. Thank you, Lord, for the sanctification that we have. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of righteousness that we have. Thank you, Lord, for salvation. We decree that as we go into the world this morning, our eyes of understanding is enlightened to behold the riches of the glory, to behold the riches of the liberality which is bestowed upon us. We decree that the word of God is taught with accuracy and precision this morning, and there is no confusion in this atmosphere. Our hearts are receptive to receive the truth of God's word. Our hearts are receptive to receive the truth of God's word, and we are better for it. At the end of this meeting, as believers, we are all edified, and only Christ is glorified. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yeah, let's go to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Yeah, this is Paul, the spiritual father of Timothy. He's writing to Timothy and he's saying, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Yeah, we've realized that word there, study, means to be eager, to be diligent, to be deliberate, to have an art of researchful reading. Yeah, 2 Timothy 2 verse 15. Yeah, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed. Yeah, a toiler, that word there, workman, a laborer, a toiler, who needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Yeah, and we established that if there's a right way of dividing the word of truth, there is also a what? Or also a wrong word finding the word of truth. But as a believer, or as a student of the word, or as a minister of the gospel, you must have the attitude of what? Rightfully dividing the word of truth. Yeah, and we said that word is similar to the word usually used for what? Mining. Yeah, when you want to bring out precious diamonds from a rock. Yeah, so Paul is telling Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God. Study to show that God has approved you. Now God has approved you, study to show that you've been approved of God. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Verse 16. Check your Bibles, verse 16. See what it says in verse 16. I want to explain something very important in verse 16, which I did on Sunday. On Wednesday, rather. See what it says there. Verse 16 says, but shun profane and vain babblings. Shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. So what he now says in verse 17, and their word it as though it a canker, of whom Hymenaeus and Philetus. Yeah, so that word there, canker, I explained on Wednesday to be the word that is similar to our new word of today that means cancer. Yeah, you know that word cancer, when somebody has cancer. Yeah, how does cancer affect people? Cancer begins to eat a part of your system and you are not aware of, and usually it happens after a while, or rather you discover after a while of eating deep. Yeah, so he's saying that their words eat like cancer. Yeah, and he gave an example. That means Paul highlighted people whose words eat like cancer. That means Paul highlighted the people that were saying things and those things were cancerous. That means we have ministers of the gospel in quotes, which are not really ministers of the gospel, that what they say are like cancer. Is that true? Yeah, what they say are like cancer. So it is what they say are cancerous. What that means is that you listen to them, it sounds innocent, but you don't know when it starts eating into your life. Yeah, you might find out months after, weeks after, or years after. You know, but Paul highlighted it that, first of all, have a disposition of rightly dividing the word of truth. It is only when you rightly divide the word of truth that your words will not seem like cancer. Now, see what their words were saying. Look at verse 18. Who concerning the truth, that means the words they were saying that was like cancer, or was cancerous, was concerning the truth. He says that who concerning the truth have heard, what were they saying? That what? Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go, verse 18. 1, 2, 3, go. So what were their words saying? Yeah. So what their words were saying was that resurrection is past. So what they were saying is that thing you have in your mind that you call rapture, yeah? That thing you call rapture. Yeah? They were saying that thing is now in their past. Hallelujah. You know, but when you rightly divide the word of truth, you know that there's something called a regeneration, or what? The Bible says that the spirit that dwelled in Christ dwells in you, shall quicken your mortal body. Yeah? So there's resurrection for every believer. Yeah, so even as a believer, even if you lose this your body, there's resurrection for you. But the words of those pastors in quotes, Hymenaeus and Philetus, was that there is no resurrection. Hallelujah. So he now says that, and because of this, some people's faith, they are overthrown. Some people, he overthrows the faith of some. Look at verse 19. Nevertheless, what is Paul saying to Timothy? Inasmuch as these words are contrarious, nevertheless. What does nevertheless mean? Nevertheless. Yeah? Yeah? What's another word for nevertheless? Notwithstanding. Yeah, beautiful. Notwithstanding the fact that their words are like cancer, and their words is saying that resurrection is past. Nevertheless, he says what? The foundation of the law standard what? Yeah? The foundation of the law standard sure. You know, this is a scripture people have used for killing their enemies. Oh, the foundation of the law standard sure. Yeah, we'll destroy our destroyers, you know, and all of those things. But if you read the context, when he says the foundation of the law standard sure, it is that the truth about resurrection is a sure. We have an assurance about the truth of resurrection. Hallelujah. Yeah? That's the foundation of the truth of God's word. Remember, he said that who concerning the truth they've heard. Yeah, so he's saying that notwithstanding foundation of the law standing short, having this seal, he now goes further. Now says, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Look at it carefully. When he says the Lord knoweth them that are his, he's not saying that the Lord knows the people that are for him. Look at it. He says the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone, look at what he says next. Let everyone that nameth the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Yeah, so what will be the iniquity there in naming the name of the Lord? Who concerning the truth have heard? Yeah, is that iniquity? Is that iniquity? Who concerning the truth they've what? Heard. Yeah, what does it mean to err? It means to go into error. Hallelujah. So when he says the Lord knows who has he, and those knoweth them that are his, Paul is teaching about doctrine, not people. Listen carefully. Paul is teaching about doctrine, not people. However, he used people to explain his doctrine that he's teaching about. So he's teaching Timothy to shun profane and vain babblings. That is the context of what he is teaching. Yeah, but in explaining vain and profane babblings, he mentions some names of people that do that. So look at it now. He now says, the Lord knoweth them that are his. What the Lord knoweth that are his is what? Is about the foundation of the Lord that standeth sure. So the Lord knoweth those doctrine that are his. Write that down, yeah? Write that down. The Lord knoweth the doctrine, the doctrine that are his, not the people. Because he's teaching doctrine. Because the first of all said, shun vain and profane babblings. So 2 Timothy 2 verse 9, when he says the Lord knoweth them that are his, he's saying the Lord knoweth those doctrine that are for him. That means those doctrine that supports that resurrection is not in the past. Hallelujah. I'll explain further. He now says, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ, when you say you name the name of Christ, what does that mean? Is he saying Jesus? When you say at the mention of the name, every knee shall bow. Is he saying at the mention of the name, J-E-S-U-S? Or at the mention or at the use of the authority of the name? Yeah? When you say the name of the president of Nigeria? Yeah? It is that if you come to a place and say, I come to you in the name of the Lord. Is it I come to you in the authority of the Lord? I come to you in the name of the president. So when you say the name of the Lord, the name Jesus is not about J-E-S-U-S. Why? Because there's a footballer in the world that's called Jesus. Is that true? Yeah? There's a footballer called Jesus. So the name of Jesus cannot be about Jesus. Yeah? So there's nothing spectacular about the name J-E-S-U-S. Because even in the real Hebrew, Greek, the translation of either of those names is not even... You know how people say Jesus is five letters, each of them is... five is number of grace. You know, have you heard people say that the stone that... David took five stones to kill Goliath. The five represent each of them for his name. Yeah? When you say the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are talking about what? The work, the authority. So let he that nameth the what? He that nameth the work of our Lord Jesus Christ depart from iniquity. What is the iniquity that departing from? The fact that what? Go into error in saying that resurrection is past. So Paul is not saying the Lord knows those that are his, but he's saying the Lord knows the doctrine that are his. Look at it this way. If all of us here are saved, and all of us are pastors, and all of you here are teaching false doctrine. All of you here are teaching false doctrine. All of you here are not teaching false doctrine, right? All of us here belong to God. All of you here teach false doctrine. All of you here don't teach false doctrine. What does it take to get to be saved? What does it take to be saved? To believe, right? Hear the truth and believe, right? That's what you need. So once you hear the truth and you believe, you are saved. That means all of us here have heard the truth and we are saved. Is that true? Does that mean that, remember we've taught eternal redemption, and once a man is saved, he is saved forever. Yeah? That means once you are saved, you are God's child forever. You see that? So if out of all of us, we are God's children forever, and those of you are rightfully dividing the word of truth, but you all are wrongfully dividing the word of truth, does it mean that only them are for God? Why? Because all of you have believed, you have become of God. So Paul will not be saying that the Lord knoweth those that are his. Why? Because all of us are his. Does that make sense? Okay, so let's say it this way. If all of us are Christians, all of you here are rightfully dividing the word of truth, rightly dividing the word of truth. And all of you here are wrongly dividing the word of truth. Do you understand that? Yeah, so now, all of us are Christians. That means all of us are children of God. Is that true? That means you are a child of God. That means he is a child of God. But you are teaching rightfully divided word of truth. But he is teaching a wrongly divided word of truth. So now, when the Bible says that the Lord knows those that are his, is he talking about all of you that are his? So now, he's talking about the doctrine, not the people. Why? Because all of us are already his. Do you understand that now? We are all Christians. We are all for God. We are all his children. Yeah? God will not, remember, you know, when you see that scripture that says, in the last day, God will say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I know you not. That is never the believer. Because a man that is a believer has departed from that workers of iniquity. You are now a believer. That means you are a child of God. That means the extent of our being a child of God is equal to the extent of your being a child of God. Why? Because both of you just had faith in the message of Christ and you are saved. So imagine all of you are my children. Yeah? Let me beautify. I got a better example. Imagine all of you are my children. I'm the father of everyone here. And all of you are doing things that are right. All of you that are doing things that are wrong. When I now come and I'll say, I know those that are mine. Am I talking about these people? How many of you here are mine? Beautiful. All of you are mine. So as a father, you're my children. As a father, I cannot come and say, I know those that are mine. No. I cannot say, I know those that are mine and be talking in reference to only these people. But if I say I know those that are mine, I mean all of you are mine. But if I now say the foundation of the Lord standeth sure, the next thing he now says, let those that name the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. That means I can come and say that what? I know the doctrines that are mine. But let those who are still mine, yes? Do you get that? Let those, you guys are iniquity, you are saying error. But let those which are still mine depart from naming the name of the Lord in error. So when he says, I know those that are mine, I'm not talking about this. But I'm talking about the message of what you are saying. Is it clearer now? Is it clearer now? So Paul told Timothy, he says, shun profane and vain babblings. Yeah, there are some things that are profane and vain babblings. Hallelujah. A believer must always have a disposition of rightly dividing the word of truth. Hallelujah. A believer must always have a disposition of naming the name of the Lord without error. A believer must always divide the word of truth accurately. A believer must know that he is to name, that is to preach the message of Christ without error. Hallelujah. Look at the next chapter, chapter 3, verse 15. And that from a child, remember, it was the same line of thought he was talking about from chapter 2. Remember, the Bible was written in chapters and verses. So when he's saying, and that from a child you've known the Holy Scriptures, which have an ability to make you wise concerning salvation. So scriptures are to make you wise concerning what? Salvation, yeah? So remember, at the time when Paul was writing this letter, the book of Timothy was not in existence. Is that true? Is that true? Yeah? When he was writing the letter that you've known scriptures, Timothy that he was writing, that book that he called 2 Timothy, he was just writing it. That means there were some things that were already in existence, which is called scriptures. So that thing that was already in existence, which is called scriptures, is exclusive of what? 2 Timothy. Does that make any sense? You know, that's why you see John 5:39. It says, ye search the scriptures. You know, the word they said search means to investigate. You investigate the scriptures. You think in them they have life. But they are they which point to me. When Jesus was saying that in the book of John, yeah, at the time Jesus made that statement, the book of John was not written. Look at it. If this is what is in existence, yeah, and this is in your possession, and I'm writing a letter to Brother Sukomi, the name of my letter is titled Brother Sukomi, and I said, all the documents that you have, I write all the documents you have. It says, and from a child you've known all the documents that you have, they are able to make you wise unto salvation. This document I'm in my hand, is it with him? The letter I'm writing right now, the documents you have, this paper that I'm going to give to him, is it with him right now? So when he reads that letter, what he's reading, when he reads the document you have, is it inclusive of what he's holding? Because when I was writing it to him, what I was holding was not part of what he was holding. Clear? So when you say all scriptures, scriptures in time of Timothy would mean what, Genesis to Malachi. That is all Timothy had access to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it says scriptures, that means what you call Genesis to Malachi, the reason they were written is to make you wise concerning something. And what is that thing? Salvation. Look at verse 16. It now says that all scriptures are inspired of God. That means they are God. That means it is God's initiative that scriptures are documented. Yeah, that word all scriptures, that word all there is past, and the word there scripture is graphe. The word there graphe simply means writings. Yeah, and the word there pass on. Yeah, so all writings, what would be the writings? Genesis to Malachi. So we can say all those writings, exclusive of 2 Timothy, at the time. Does that make any sense? Does that make any sense? So at the time, 2 Timothy was not part of the scriptures. But now, in our scriptures, 2 Timothy is part of the scriptures. Is that true? Is that true? Yes. Yeah. So when we are reading it, we must understand the times these things were written. So they are able, it says they are able to make you wise unto salvation, and they are profitable. That means the advantage of those writings is what? For teaching. In teaching, what we have is what? We get assurance. How do you know you are saved? The scripture told you. In the assurance we have what? Correction, which is to what? To rectify. To straighten up a thought pattern that you thought was right, but it was not. It is not right. Hallelujah. So when you have a wrong thought or wrong teaching about a particular doctrine, where do you rectify it from? Scriptures. How do you rectify it? By making use of the advantage of the scripture, which is for teaching. So it is in teaching that your wrong notions are what? Corrected. It is a proper teaching from the scriptures that your wrong notions are corrected. So you see that, it now says for instructions in righteousness. It says training in righteousness. That means there might be some things you might hold on to, or you might have been holding on to certain things all your life. Yeah? But when you read scriptures and read it properly, in the light of the fact that the wisdom of scriptures is salvation, then you have correction. Hallelujah. You know, for instance, if you ask an average Christian in Nigeria or in the world, what fruit the Adam eat? What's the answer? Apple, yeah? Some of us still believe it's apple. Yeah, some of us still believe it's apple. That's fine. But you know, apart from children's storybook. But remember, we all grew up thinking Adam ate an apple. Yeah? In proper reading of scriptures, you realize that when you read scriptures and you realize that there is no apple anywhere, it changes your preconceived notion. And what does that mean? It has rectified your knowledge. Yes? It has brought correction to your knowledge. Hallelujah. It has what? Brought correction to your knowledge. So as believers, all we hold in the highest esteem is what? Bible. That's why this year we're trying to finish reading our Bible. You see, if when you read your Bible, there are some things you think are in the Bible that are not in the Bible. For instance, I was talking with a brother yesterday, yeah? He's along here. You know that scripture that says, go to Joel 3 verse 10. I remember I did a teaching on this when we were doing the praise series. Look at it. He now says, beat your ploughshares into swords and your pruning hook into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Remember the explanation of this? Yes. Remember the explanation of this? Let me just explain again. But that's not what we're dealing with. You do know that song? Let the weak say. Do you know that if you ask anybody, an average Christian that has not studied his Bible, he will tell you that the Bible says that let the poor say that I'm rich. And they will quote Joel 3:10. Where does Joel 3:10 end? Let the weak say I am. Did he mention anything about poor being rich? I love the man, no? No scripture. Read from Genesis to Revelations. Yeah? And the person I was chatting with, I went to the internet to just search for it. The first quote I saw, know what it says? It says, the scripture says in Joel 3 verse 10, let the weak say they are... Did you see the picture? You saw the picture now? Let the weak say, I am strong. And the scripture says, I let the poor say, I am weak. Which scripture? You see? But imagine a praise worship singer just come and say, oh, lift up those hands. The scripture says that we'll let the weak say you are strong. You know, today we might go into Romans 4 and see something. A believer is not a weak man. Hallelujah. Yeah? So, let's assume we are singing the song spiritually. Yeah? Let's assume we are singing the song spiritually. So, you know, a believer is not a weak man. Bible says that when you had no strength, that was when Christ died for you. Now that Christ has died for you, you are full of strength. Yeah? A believer is not a weak man. That means a believer is a strong man. A believer is not a poor man. A believer is a rich man. Remember that teaching? Remember that teaching? Yeah? God's riches has been invested in the believer. So there's no believer that is poor. Yeah? No believer is poor. Now, that's spiritually. No believer is weak. No believer is poor. Every believer is rich. So when you come to church in the presence of believers and say, let the weak say I'm strong, who is to respond to you? He says, let the weak. That means the only people that are to respond to you are the weak. Yeah? 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 But the believer is not weak. When you say, let the poor say I am rich, who is to respond to you? Only the poor. Yeah? Then remember, a believer is not poor. Let's now take it to physical realm. Eh? No, now we'll do both of them now. Let's take it to physical realm. When you have the likes of Femi Otedola in your service, eh? And you sing, let the poor say he's rich, will he respond to you? Because he said, let the poor. Is he poor? Is he poor? Okay, let's now assume physically. Somebody spiritually, let's say somebody is tired. What if Otedola is not tired? Let's say weak, strong. Eh? Let's assume he's not going through depression, he's not going through anything. Will he respond to that song? You know Domwell, I love Domwell. He has sung so many beautiful songs. When we grew up learning lots of Domwell, right? Beautiful man, you know. But the truth is that if you are not careful to have a disposition of reading scriptures, you'll be tossed around with anything any man says. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, that's why there's some songs we change. You know, as much as there's some songs we change, there's some things you can change in the songs because the songs are sweet. Think about the first part of the song. It's not a beautiful part. Give thanks. It's not a beautiful song. Yeah. But the moment you go to the next part, you are singing at the scripture. There's no polishing to it. A man that has been a Christian, and if I let it be the throne of heaven, he brought the song from. As long as it's not scriptures, you can attribute it to the throne of. You can attribute it to the throne of ignorance. Let's leave it there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, did you get corrected here this morning? Where did you correct it from? Scriptures. How did you correct it? How did we correct it? By teaching. Hallelujah. You know, there's a very thin line between confession of faith and fear and lying. When you are poor, Bible never says you should say you are rich. If you are poor, you are poor. See, if you don't have money, you don't have money. No, now why are you laughing? If you don't have money, you don't have money. See, if you have money, you have money. If you have money, you really have money. And if you have money, you don't need to say I'm rich. Is that not true? Does that go to you to come here and say I'm rich? Don't hide behind what? Your fear. You are, so, let the poor say, you know there's people that have sang that song to their death and they never had 1 million in their account? Are there people like that? So, I am rich. Am I saying don't be optimistic? No. But there's a thin line between lying, being optimistic, and an amplification of your fear. Hallelujah. Back to 2 Timothy 3. Remember, even when Joel was writing, let the weak say they are strong, he was sarcasm. You remember that teaching? Yeah? Let your weak people say they are strong. Yeah? It's like I want to fight you. Your kingdom against my kingdom. Yeah, and I know I will overpower your kingdom. And I'm just saying, okay, you let your weak people. So what I'm trying to say is that don't bring only your strong people that you are sure of are strong. But even those people that you think are weak in your camp, bring them come. That's why he says, beat your spear into. I've gone past that scripture already. All scriptures is given by inspiration of God and is what? Profitable for teaching. In teaching, we find assurance. In this assurance, we have a rectification and correction. Then instruction in righteousness. Hallelujah. Everything he mentioned in that verse, what is it hinged around? And everything he mentioned about in verse 15 and 16, what is it hinged about? What did he mention in verse 15 that is considered in verse 16? Scriptures. So when you think of scriptures, think wisdom in reference to salvation. When you think of scriptures, think it is God inspired. When you think of scriptures, think it is for teaching. When you think of scriptures, think it is for correction. When you think of scriptures, think it is for assurance. Hallelujah. Look at Luke 24 verse 26. Luke 24 verse 26. Look at verse 25. Then he said unto them, follow attentively, then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophet have spoken. Yeah, remember there was a conversation before time. They were saying that the sepulchre is empty. Verse 24. Yeah, he said that they went there and they saw that the sepulchre was the way the woman had said it was. He now looked at them and said, oh fools, yeah, you are slow of heart to believe all the prophets spoke. Where do we see the things the prophet spoke? Where do we see the things the prophet spoke? Scriptures, right? We see it from the scriptures. Yeah? And look at what he now says in verse 26. What did his prophet say? What is summary of their statement? Ought not Christ to have suffered these things you are seeing and to what? Enter into the place he has never been before. That's entering into his glory. That is entering into the believer. Look at what Jesus did next. Look at what Jesus did, which a lot of us don't want to do. Yeah? Look at what Jesus did. Your Lord and Savior. Your Lord and Savior. See what he did. What did he do in verse 27? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them what? The things concerning the scripture. Now, he expounded to them right in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Where did Jesus teach about himself from? So why do people have personal experiences they teach from? Hallelujah. While I was in the secret place, when I was in my independent room, while I was on the mountain, the Lord touched me. The Lord himself did not speak as God to you. He spoke from scriptures. The Lord, that you are saying, told you. What did he do? He taught from what the prophet had written. Scriptures. The scriptures. That means Jesus himself validated scriptures. Jesus himself validated the scriptures. So who are we to talk out of the scriptures? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus himself taught from where? Is in the Bible. See, so what did Acts 1, 2, 3 say? It says that Jesus taught for many days. Where was he teaching for 40 days? Hallelujah. That's why I keep saying something. When sometimes, if Jesus should come to some services and sit down and hear what the man that is in front is saying, he will be asking himself, is that me? Bro, sorry, is that me? How can Jesus read scriptures to explain himself? All the apostles, all of them read scriptures to explain Jesus. But we are trying to explain Jesus with our personal experience in our bedroom at night. That's why you see people that say, I don't like going to church because all the churches are the same. See, assumption is the lowest level of knowledge. Assumption. When you put different categories of knowledge, the least is assumption. I just wake up on Sunday morning and I tune into the Holy Ghost. And I open the Bible and say, the Holy Spirit speak to me. And while I was reading verse 1, I read verse 2, and the Holy Spirit says, stop at verse 3. But you know that, you see something? If I do signs and wonders right now, and I tell you that thing, you know you will believe me. Because I've captured your mind with signs and wonders. Don't be deceived. Amen? Don't be deceived. But this is the point. Supernatural is beautiful. See, I've been saying it throughout this year, never joke with the things of the Spirit. You will not know when they're important until you need them. I hold in high esteem the things of the Spirit, signs and wonders. Yeah? I grow in them. I teach people to grow in them. I know I can do better. Yeah? Stuff like that. But I should never exhort. See, results are not proof. Write this down your notes. Results are never proof you are in alignment to God's will. Results are never proofs that you are in alignment to God's will. That you see results are never proofs. Herbalists have results. Thieves have results. A thief will go and steal and come and share testimony in church and they say that, oh, God is working in his life. But he stole and he killed. Results are never proofs you are in obedience to God. Results are never proofs that you are in alignment with God's will. Results are never proofs that you are in alignment to God's will. That's why you see Paul, the apostles, they say, mark them, mark them, mark them, mark them. Remember when the apostles went to go and lay hands on people? Remember the scripture shows that we have some sorcerers? Yeah? Remember that lady that Bible says she was a soothsayer? Acts 19? Remember that's when we're reading Acts? Yeah? See, we have herbalists that do miracles. We have them. We have them. Christ did not die for you to do miracles and end it there. All miracles you are to do are to point to the miracle of resurrection. Bible says that a bishop must be apt to teach. Look at it though. A bishop must be what? Apt to teach. What does it mean to be apt? To be skillful at teaching. The same thing he wrote to Timothy, he wrote to Titus. Two bishops, Bishop of Ephesus and Bishop of Crete. So how do you know a bishop in alignment to God's will is skillful in teaching? Not just demo, you know what we call demo? Demonstration. Am I in any way saying it is wrong to demonstrate? No. But that should not blind you to what scriptures are for. You know, I see a lot of people do exegesis over exegesis. Exegesis is explaining scriptures in context of what it means and saying what scriptures mean and what the intent of the writer is or was. Exegesis is using your experience and backing it up. You see that? Exegesis is scriptures leading you are following. Exegesis, you are leading, scriptures is following you. That's not wise. Even Jesus himself, that you said chose you personal revelation, where did he explain himself from? He allowed scriptures to lead him. So, a very easy way to know who to follow and who not to follow is by their aptness in scriptures. Hallelujah. So, we are to submit ourselves to scriptures. Jesus submitted himself to scriptures. And he says, up not Christ. Look, see what Jesus did. Beginning at Moses. Why is Moses? Moses is the beginning of scriptures. Yeah? When you see beginning at Moses, what you are seeing is what? The writings of Moses. So beginning at the writings of Moses and all the prophets. You see something? Look at this one. When the prophets were in existence, when you have, for instance, when you have Isaiah, Uzziah, when you told them search the scriptures, what would they look for? They'll look for the one before them, yeah? Most of them, what they had access to was what? Genesis to what? Leviticus. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. The Deuteronomy. What you call the Pentateuch. The first five books. Look at it. So, Moses wrote. The prophets quoted Moses. Jesus quoted the prophet. Jesus quoted Moses. Jesus didn't come and say, "Where then they? We're here. He that was and was that is come. Uh-huh." He didn't say that. He did a 40-day seminar to explain himself from scriptures. Hallelujah. For you to come to the gathering of brethren and explain not what Jesus explained, you are simply doing what? That means you are higher than Jesus. He taught from scriptures. Today we are just revisiting the integrity of God's word. How do we know God's word is God's word? We know God's word is God's word because of the promise he made and he kept and fulfilled in Christ. So, when you're saying, oh, your promises are yeah, you know that song, oh, your promises are yeah and amen. Be careful what you are saying are your promises. Never think car, because God did not promise you a car. So, when scripture says all the promises of God are yes and amen, where did he finish it? In Christ. God's promise is constant. God's promise was fulfilled. Let's look at it in scriptures this morning. Hallelujah. Look at 2 Timothy 2:2. Look, see what Paul told Timothy. See what Paul told Timothy before he told Timothy, study to show thyself approved. This is verse 2. Verse 2 comes before 15. Is that true? Yeah? So that means you must have read verse 2 before going to verse 2. See what he said in verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me, when he say heard of me, who is that? Paul. Paul is talking to Timothy. The things you have heard of me, or heard, in fact, a better way to translate that is heard from me. Yeah? The things thou hast heard from me amongst many witnesses, yeah? The same commit thou to faithful men, who will what? Be able to teach others also. So if I'm a faithful man, I commit the same thing, Paul. You see, if the men of old have consistently maintained what the apostles taught, today we will not be in so much error as a church. What happened is that what Paul said is too common. Is that I'm going to be saying the same thing every day? Pastor, be new. That's what led is be new. That led us to the error we are in right now in this generation. It takes a covetous heart to say amen to some covetous prayers. So we are to see. So we don't try to sound different. You see, when a generation right now that where proper Bible exegesis and proper Bible interpretation is relegated, show us results. Show us results. So where's your results? A 419 has results, even more than a lot of us. Go and follow him now. Results are never proof that you are in alignment with what God wants you to do on earth. So if you like, I can never not want a church to grow. The moment I am saying, we are okay like this, okay, I like the small family. No, I'm against God's will is that a lot of people are to be saved. So am I against number in church? No. Am I against growth? No. But the truth remains that if you like, be 10 million and have 70 services per Sunday. If you are not teaching scriptures, you are in disobedience to Jesus. What a great testimony it is if you have 10 million people and you are explaining scriptures in context. Not picking from... What we do is cherry pick. Cherry pick. Connect. You know what cherry picking is? You pick from here, join it together and sound soothing. Chaka, chaka. Boo, 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 pa. And everybody's eating every Sunday. Why won't you be confused at the end of service, at the end of the week? Hallelujah. You know, so we are taking our time in God's palace to that the things I'm learning, yes, but the things I'm learning, I'm teaching you so that you can learn to teach others. I ask a lot of people, explain this thing you just said. Jesus explained from scriptures. Let me say it this way. Everything we explain in reference to doctrine must be from scriptures. Is that clear? So if I'm saying Jesus died and he was buried and he rose again, I should explain it to you from where? Scriptures. That means if we don't have in details what Jesus, if for instance we don't have in details what Jesus did in the tomb for 3 days, you know, have you not seen people like that? God showed me the real things that happened in those 3 days. You've not seen people like that? The real things that happened in those 3 days. You see something, I said something to my friends yesterday. I said, no matter what you teach, you will have followers. Are there not churches that they spray bacon on their face? Are people not running there? Once you know how to capture people, it's easy to capture people. But what we are to do is to submit ourselves to the authority of the word. As I mean right now, no matter who you are, if you like being ministry for 752 years, and they gave birth to you the same time they gave birth to Methuselah. If I see your teaching, you are not teaching from scriptures. Tune off straight. There's no point. If you're not, why do we pick a verse? See what we do? We pick a verse from scriptures, and the moment we read that verse, we don't use another verse to complement that verse. We just pick that verse and keep explaining it for 2 hours. That's why when you come to church, never be tired of opening scriptures, because we are supposed to use scriptures to explain scriptures. Yeah? Scriptures are to explain scriptures. I should never use my mindset or my personal revelation to explain scriptures. Any man that has a personal revelation, any man that has any personal revelation and say God gives him, we know the authenticity of that revelation to the degree at which it's correct with the scriptures. If someone comes and says that this is what the Lord told me, We know he is truly of the Lord when we see it and how it corresponds with scriptures. For instance, let me give you an example. You know, I was teaching on Wednesday about baptism in passing. When he says, baptizing them in the name of Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I was teaching about how baptism is not about water always. Yeah? Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, which we saw on Wednesday. He said, I baptized so and so, but I thank my Lord I baptized no one else. Why did he thank God that he did not baptize no one else? Because no one sent him to baptize. That's what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians. That means when Jesus died and passed, a lot of people were baptizing with water, yeah? But God did not ask them to continue baptizing with water. Hallelujah. When Jesus passed, a lot of people continued the practice of putting people in water. But Jesus did not send them to do that. That's why Paul puts a disclaimer and he says that what? God did not ask me to baptize anyone with water. So now, look at, see what I just said. See what I just said. Now, if a pastor comes and says, God said I should baptize all of you here with water today. Is that pastor correct? Why? Scripture already tells us that Paul says that what? Jesus never asked me to baptize anybody with water. Full stop. So God will not in 2020. Do you know what I'm trying to say? God will not in 2020. I say, God's baptized my people in water. No, you like water. You want people inside water. You want them to snap you with water. Fine. But the moment you put that clause, God said, no. We only agree with what you say to the degree at which it is correct with scriptures. The Spirit of God led me. Yeah? You know you can lead yourself. You can lead yourself and spiritualize it. You can lead yourself. Hallelujah. So, a man's leading is only correct to the degree at which the leading submits to scriptures. So, if Jesus clearly never said, go and baptize with anybody, to anybody, it simply means that if you are in this day and time, and say, God say, baptism is the fruit of the children. Baptism is something you must do. Before you must be baptized, God say in this commission, before you must become a worker, you must be baptized. Before you become a member, you must be deep inside water. It shows the outward in and out. No, you are leading yourself. That's not scripture. So, people say, no, let people just, as long as they are teaching the same thing. No. That means one day somebody will say, God says you should drink the blood. Is that not why? Can't you see? Is that not why people drink the blood of animals in the church? God said, today all of you should come and touch my shoe. Have you seen that nonsense video of that guy that brought pastor from under his shoe? Passport. See, I see you are looking for passports. Come on. He narrows the leg up. And all of them were looking at him. No, remove my shoe. And the guy removed his shoe, he saw passport. And you will collect the passport from somebody's shoe. Chief Consulate of Heaven, General of all the country's embassy. Why is your passport inside my shoe, sir? No, just tell me. Why? What date will be on the what? May I use the passport from Ado to a Kogi? So we know how correct a practice or doctrine is to the degree at which it corresponds with scripture. Scripture has the final authority over our lives. A man that says, God says you baptize you with water, one day he will bring basin to church service and put blood inside. Say, God has baptized you with his blood. We decree the blood. I've lost people that have anointing bottle. You see the disciples, when they were going out with Jesus, what did Jesus tell them to do? He said that when they are going, they should go with nothing. Do you remember that they went and they healed somebody and they used anointing oil? You didn't remember that story? Okay, no, we're going to that very soon. So, when you begin to say, you know, my brother, I was chatting with my brother a few days ago. He said, last Sunday, he said, this our Sunday was mantle service. What is mantle service? A pastor is passing a handkerchief around all of you. He said, when it didn't touch you, just collect it and put it on your head and pass it. I trust my brother. He said, I didn't do it though. So if Joseph come back and they say he should not go back to school, you know it's because he did not put mantle on his head. Yeah? I've not seen people. Did Paul use his apron to heal people? Yes. Is there anything wrong in it? No. But when you make a ministry out of it, when you make a ministry out of oil, bring your oil to church, then bring water. When you now go back home, you'll be spoiling all your work. I've not realized people that use if you live in a place in Asokora, your house is beautiful. We go to the middle of the world and be doing like this. Yellow oil. Say, if this is how your house is, for instance, you'll come here and be doing like this. they raise their foot mats. Pastor said, when you get home, raise the foot mat and pour the oil and read the right letter, J-E-S-U-S. Demons will see and flee. The demons that will beat you, they are more advanced than the ones you are running from. Scriptures are for teaching. Scriptures are not to put beside your pillow. You know people that do that? When you want to sleep, you just pick your Bible. You don't open it. You don't know what it says. That's one day you will not know when you pick around that book. You think it's Bible. Maybe there's no light. You just pick one book like this. you do not know. Devil will catch you. When they now on the light, that's the light is not your Bible. Put your Bible under your pillow. Rosary. 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 God seen them beat you with your rosary. You've never seen them use your rosary to beat you. Yeah? If we don't stick to practices of scriptures, one day we'll start coming to church naked as a practice. Just come with your boxer. Come as you are. Just wake up. Don't even bath. Just come. Don't brush. So why are we sticking to the practices of scriptures? We are sticking to them because we know that that is what we will teach the next generation, that will allow the next generation to maintain the truth of God's word. Hallelujah. So it says commit the same things to others, not just so that we end with them, but to teach others. So you all are teachers. Inasmuch as you are a disciple here in God's palace, you are a teacher. You're a teacher. Glory to God. Look at let's see Hebrews 6. Let's see Hebrews 1:1. Let's see Hebrews 1:1. Or let's go to 1 Peter 1:23. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Look at what he says. He says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the word of God. So what is that incorruptible seed there? Yeah? What is the incorruptible seed there? The word of God, right? Which liveth and abideth forever. Verse 24. Go to 25. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Now see something very interesting. You know, look at John 1. Look at John 1. It says the incorruptible seed, which is the word of God. Look at John 1:1. In the beginning was what? The word. And the word was with God, and the word was God. Remember that word there, word, is the word that means what? Logic. Yeah, the Greek word logos. Yeah, in the beginning was the word. That means the word there, logos, is the word there, logic, which means system or thought pattern. So in the beginning was the word, was the logic, and the logic was with God. That means God's system was with him. Yeah, and the logic of God was God. Yeah, the word was with God, and the word was God. Are we together? The word was with God, and the word was God. Look at verse 2. The same was in the beginning with God. That means the word was the same which was at the beginning with God. Look at verse 3. And all things were made, and without him was nothing made that was made. Verse 4. And in him was life. Yeah? And the life was the light unto men. Yeah? The life of God was the light unto men, which is found in the logic of God. So, when you see, and God said, let there be light. What you are thinking is not the moons and the stars and all of that. But what you are thinking is what? The life presented to men by God. Look at it. John is explaining Genesis. So in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So a man that has believed in that life has light. So when he says, God said, Genesis 1:2-3, he says, God said, let there be light, and there was light. Paul recorded to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. He says that the light of the glorious gospel. Yeah, that if our gospel will preach, it be hid to them. It's hid to them that who have been blinded, and who the God of this world do not want the light of the glorious gospel to appear unto them. Yeah, so when you see light, don't always think stars, moon. Yeah, light is what? The life. Hallelujah. We'll go into that extensively on Wednesday. Now look at verse 14. That logic, that word. Yeah, look at what it says. And the word, which is the logic, was made what? Was made what? Who's that? Who was made flesh? So if we say, that means we can read from verse 14 backwards. If we say Christ is that word that became, rather, if we say Christ is that word that became flesh, we can trace it back to where the word started from in John 1:1 and say that word is Christ. So in the beginning was the word. You can say in the beginning was Christ. Yeah? Yeah? And Christ was God, you know, and with him beginning and all those things. So that Christ, which is God, now became a man. Became flesh. Look how he now says, and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace, which is the reality. Full of grace and truth, which is the reality. So what the truth is reality. Hallelujah. Now, that is the word. That is the word. Yeah? The word was made flesh. That is God's logic. You know, and I've done an explanation on, you know, those people that say Rema. You want to call Rema. When somebody says something deep, you say Rema. Chukwu's word, sir. Chukwu's Rema. Let's not go into that. So you see that God, the word, which is Christ becoming flesh to mankind, explained himself from scriptures. The life that became the light unto men. Explain himself from scriptures. He didn't just come and say, I'm the light. Can't you see? Can't you see it shining? Now you see, Christ explained himself from scriptures. We are to explain Christ from scriptures. Remember? So now, that is to say, when you don't... Now, where are you found? You are found in Christ, right? You are in Christ, you are found in Christ. That is to say that if you have a wrong interpretation of Christ, you will have a wrong interpretation of yourself. Is that true? Where are you? You're seated in Christ, yeah? In the heavens, right? We are seated in Christ. You are in Christ. That means for us to know you, we must see Christ. That means for you to know yourself, you must see Christ. That means if you have a wrong interpretation of Christ, you will have a wrong interpretation of yourself. Because you cannot see yourself without seeing Christ. And the Christ that you are in, explain himself from scriptures. So you are to explain Christ from scriptures so that you can see yourself in Christ. A man, a believer, is found in Christ. For 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. Be in Christ. You are a new creation. The moment you are a new creation, it simply means that you are found where? In Christ. For me to be able to see you, I should see you through the lens of Christ. For you to even see yourself, you must see yourself through the lens of who you are in, which is what? Christ. Yeah, so that means if you are to understand who Christ is, you must understand how to explain him so that you can see yourself clearly. How did he explain himself? Through scriptures. How do you explain him? How did Christ explain himself? How do you explain Christ? So how do you explain yourself in Christ? Through scriptures. So a wrong misinterpretation of scriptures will lead to a wrong misinterpretation of your identity. Write that down in your notes. A wrong interpretation of scriptures will lead to a wrong interpretation of your identity. So we see that God is a promise keeper. He kept his promise and he fulfilled them in Christ. Christ was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. He fulfilled his promise in Christ. So he's brought a promise keeper. How do we know? Look at Christ. Look at Psalm 118, verse 20. Verse 20, 22, 23, 24. Psalm 118. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh. You know that song, right? Another day that the Lord has made. Next song. It can never, never change. It can never, never change. It can never, never change, Jesus. They say, I love them. You know the way we usually did morning devotion those years? Yeah? So you see the scripture. He says, this is the day the Lord has made. What is the day? Is the psalm is writing about every day? Let's look at it. Look at two verses before this. This was a promise that was made about Christ. Yeah. Now, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and hast become my salvation. Yeah? So look at it. The word he used there now that should put you at what's your attention? What word should your attention be on in this verse? What word? Each scripture that will make you wise unto salvation. You see where the writer. So Psalm 91, the last verse 91. Will long life shall I satisfy you? Yeah, will long life shall I satisfy thee and show you your salvation. When you see salvation, what should you think about? Christ. So when he says will long life will I satisfy thee and show you my salvation, is he saying long life on earth? It can't be, because what will now be long life? When some believers die at 20, some die at 50, some die at 70. Who has the longest of life? That means long life is not consistent on earth. That means the long life that the psalmist in Psalm 91 will be writing about will be a consistent life that is relation to salvation. When he says, with long life will I satisfy thee and show thee my salvation, it is that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him has been satisfied with long life by receiving salvation. So when you see salvation in the context of the psalmist writing, you make sure that you look in context to see what he's saying. So after he mentioned salvation, what's the next thing he said? Verse 22. The stone which the builder refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is a verse we always use for, I'll go to Abuja City and shine. My father did not allow me to be anything in my village. Let me go. Let me just find my way to the city. After you now make one small 1 million. The stone which the builder rejected. Scripture says, the stone which the builder rejected is now the cornerstone. You don't know that you are deceiving yourself. It's until you finish sharing everything, they will allow you to go. Now go down again. I'm the stone that was rejected. Look at me, I'm not the chief. You are not the chief cornerstone. You can't be the chief cornerstone. What happened if you went to the city and nothing happened? You are mud. So he says salvation, he says stone rejected, chief cornerstone. Look at the next verse. This is the day the Lord, and this is the Lord's doing. Look at it though. Can you see? It's not that I was the stone that was rejected and now came. One small million. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in my sight. No, it cannot be your money that is the Lord's doing that should be marvelous in your sight. He already mentioned salvation. Look at the next verse. This is the day that the Lord has made. You know, you see something. You don't understand how this word channels your mind. It doesn't make any sense. It's actually to do this. You come to Abuja and work from January to November, December, second week to go to the village to go and show the small money you earned. Are you not thinking? Eh? To go and show. You're in a place where your body are paying you 20,000 naira per month, for instance. Eh? 20,000 naira in 10 months is how much? 200,000 naira. In 11 months, how much? 240. 220. December, your office now pays you December 14th or 15th. That is 240. Abi? December 15th, they pay. December 16th, you enter Kelly Dichuku. He said east, what happened to west? He said east. It's only east they are going to. Then time why are you going? I'm going to the east. The east. Why are you laughing? Or the west. Yeah, no, look at it now. Look at it. Am I saying just go to the east? That's not what you pick from this message. Nobody's holding you. Go to the east, go to the west, go to the north, go to the center. You are free. But you finish working in 300 and something days, you earn 240,000 naira. That means per day you earn less than 1,000 naira. Per day you earn less than 1,000 naira. 15, 17. At the day you land in your village. Now start sharing. Everybody will know. I'm the apple of God's eye. I'm that stone that they thought would not make it. You've made it 240,000. You've made it. Okay, sorry. You've made it. You go and spend all your money. You now be calling us in Abuja. Send us transport to come back. Hallelujah. January, you start working. You know, January is the longest month. This year was the fastest I've seen. This January just went whoop. It went fast. But usually, January has 57 days. Ideally, we're supposed to be in January 8th today. Ideally. Today's supposed to be January. You know why January is long? You want the month to end quickly so something can enter. But you forgot that you went to go and spread everything. Just like even Jesus, they did not use money to spray on the floor. They used leaf. You go to your village, you spray the money. You now buy one 700 perfume that is strong. Why are you laughing like that? You know what one that is strong. And the day you land in the village, you finish half the bottle. You know that is only 240,000 naira. You guys will have 240. If you are any 240,000 naira in a year, you cannot have 240,000 to go to the village. 700. You go to those malam. You don't even buy the one you spray. You buy the one that you open the cover and pour it on your hand. Pour it on your body. Once you just come out of the car, you now hire Uber. You hire taxi. You look for the one with AC. You now enter the front of your compound. they will look at you. Ah, is that Sister Esther? Ah, and she will now sit down at the back. I'm waiting for them to gather first. She will now say, wind down. How are you? How are you? Now wind down. When all of them, maybe the uncles have come, she now open the door. She now step. You now hug them. The hug that will remain on their clothes for 3 weeks. Because you finish the whole bottle of perfume on your clothes. And you know those people, they know how to make your head swell. Agbalagba! Agbalagbi! Before you know it, as I say agbalagbi, something's dropping. Agbalagba, something's dropping. When you now come back generally, you now say, how did you do it? You say, it's the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our side. Which marvelous? You forgot that you have to call them back in Abuja to send you transport to even come back to where the Lord's doing is happening. Before you know it now, January 1 month has finished. Anybody that has any salary, you collect it already. And before you know it, if you borrow money, they don't ever think of paying back February. No. They keep posting you. You think their company is owing them. I'm the stone that was rejected. You see, when they now ask you, how did you get money? It's the grace of the Lord. It's the grace. I've not thought about it. Miracle money. Have you ever seen a miracle money of 1 million naira? You know what they call miracle money? When money just appears in your account or in your pocket. I've not noticed. It's not only 200 naira or 1,000 naira that appears in your pocket. Check it now. The highest I've heard is 20. What, 20K? 4,000 naira. Eh? You appear in your pocket. Beautiful is fine. And you say, what a marvelous God. What a big God. So the bigness of your God, all he can give you is 200 naira. Your God is big, oh. So what is the Lord doing that is marvelous in our sight? Look at how Peter explained in Acts 4:11. He was quoting Psalm 118, verse 24. Acts 4, verse 11. Look at it. Is this the same thing we read? Yes. This is the stone. Look, read from verse 9. If we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole? Verse 10. Remember, they just finished healing someone. They were explaining the healing they did. He now says, be it known unto you, don't lose track here, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God what? Raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before. So they were saying that this man is standing whole. How do we do it? It's by the power of God. The God, the Jesus that you crucified. What did he say in verse 11 now? This is the stone. Who is now the stone? Who is the stone? Christ. He just told you that this man was whole made by what? The power of Christ. That Christ is the stone which was what? Not. How did he explain said not in the previous verse? Who you crucified. He has now become what? The head of stone. Yeah? Which David wrote what? Chief cornerstone. So, because he was explaining something, he didn't go further to explain every other thing in Psalm 118. It is left for you to go back to where it was written from or quoted from and read it. So, ideally, all you should read is, this is the stone that the builder rejected, which is Christ. He has now become the head of the corner. Yeah, Ephesians 2.10, Ephesians 2.22, Ephesians 2 downwards. It shows us that he is now the chief cornerstone. Yeah, he is the chief cornerstone, Christ. So, what is the Lord doing? Whom he crucified, that God raised, is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our sight. Simple. It is marvelous in our sight because what? Ye crucified him, God rose him up from the dead. Simple. So when you say, this is the Lord's doing, it's marvelous. Don't be thinking your house or your car. No. If you are saying to yourself, that small car you got is not something marvelous for a marvelous God to do. A man that doesn't believe in your God and doesn't even believe that God exists anywhere has better than that. I can give you 200 of that thing you say is marvelous in your sight. That thing that is marvelous in a believer's sight is what? That work of God, that the work that God did in Christ. Men crucified him, he rose him up. That's a marvelous thing. So when you say, this is the day that the Lord has made, it is what? Oh my goodness. It is not Sunday morning. No, it's not Sunday morning. The day, we speak about the day of resurrection. We are in that day. Yeah, that day will now be figurative for the dispensation. So, day is not always day as per Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Day can also be what? A dispensation. We are in the dispensation of the resurrection of Christ. So this is that day that the Lord has made. We're in that day. We keep rejoicing and we are glad in it. Why? It is marvelous in our sight because it is the Lord's doing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Scriptures are to make you wise unto salvation. Don't pick scriptures and prophecies that were sent ahead to Christ and personalize them. Are we together? Scriptures are for teaching. Can you see what we did? What we're doing was explaining Old Testament in the New Testament books. Yeah? That was all the apostles did. You know, I told you before, book of Romans, Paul, you know, you read Romans, 16 chapters of Romans, Paul quoted Old Testament books 78 times. Paul. Romans 5, 6, Romans 5, 7, Romans, you know, it's just 78 times. He was just quoting and explaining. The writer of Hebrews, read Hebrews has 13 chapters. Am I mistaken? 13, right? 13 chapters in Hebrews. He quoted Old Testament books 100 times. What were the apostles doing? They were explaining the old. So what you call Romans, Ephesians, Colossians, they were simply the explanation of what the prophet had said, which is inclusive of what Moses had said. That's why you see a lot of people have issues reading the book of Revelation. There's nothing in Revelation, though. Revelation is, you see, if you notice the order in which we are reading our book, what's the last book? Revelation. You know why? The writer of Revelation expects you have read Genesis to Jude before you enter Revelation. There was not a single, listen to me, not a single thing that was used in Revelation, either lion, either lamb, that was new in that book. Everything was seen from Genesis to Jude. There was no new figure. No new figure. That's why the book of Revelations 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It says what? This is the revelation of Christ. John was just revealing Christ, but using the different things the prophet and Moses had said, including what the apostles were saying and what Jesus said to show you revelations. So when you see lion and lamb, God can never be lion and lamb. He is not possible. God can never have a dual nature. A lion is an animal that is different from the lamb. God is not the lion. God is the lamp. All the prophecies, when John was at the baptism water, what did he say? He says, behold the lamp. He didn't say lion and the lamp. He's the lamp. All prophecies were as the sheep led before, as the lamp, the lamp, the lamp, the lamp. God will provide himself a lamp, an offering, a lamp, lamp, nothing for lion. But the Jewish culture saw lion. That you see, realize very well, you know, your revelation, the revelation and dreams and visions you have is around what you think and the knowledge you know. The man writing the book of Revelation is a Jewish man. So when he sees lion, he knows what it means. That's why John corrected it. The Bible says that 24 elders of the angel said lion. The next statement, what did John say? He is the lamb that takes away the sins of the world. God is not a lion. He can never be. The moment God is a lion, it means that God has a dual nature. That means God can devour. Are we together? Are we together? So he's the lamb. He's the lamb. If God was a lion, why didn't he now fight the people that were crucifying him? Because the prophecies were not for him to come as a lion, but to come as a lamb. You know, a lamb is sheep. They go where he has them to go. They are not goats. So, Revelations is expected that you have read Genesis to Jude. When you now see to the angel in church in Ephesus, go back and see how did the writers of the epistles use angel, a messenger. So, when he's saying to the angel of the church in Ephesus, he's not saying the angel with the wing at the door. What is he saying? The messenger, that is the pastor of the church in Ephesus, just like I'm the pastor of the church in God's palace. So, he was writing and scolding the pastors of the church, not angel. You're just looking now. Bible is interesting to read, but you must read properly and you must have a good teacher. You must have selective amnesia in what you listen to. There's no point trying to look for what is not lost. In your process of looking for what is not lost, you find yourself in the ditch. Stick with scriptures. How did I explain Psalm 118 now? Acts 4:11. How do you explain Psalm 16? Acts 2:29 to 35, 36. How do you explain Genesis 1? It's in Corinthians. How do you explain Genesis 1:3? It's in Corinthians. How do you explain Genesis 1:26? It's in Corinthians, it's in Ephesians, and Colossians. Scriptures are to be juxtaposed to what? Show you the big picture of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Just pray in the Holy Ghost this morning.